Let's go.
Welcome to this week's edition of Don Cherry's Grapevine Podcast, voted biggest and best podcast of 2020 by Apple Podcasts.
I like that. Say that again, Tim.
We were voted biggest and best in 2020 by Apple Podcast.
So I like that. And I have the sign. You give me a little
plaque. Yeah, they gave us a little plaque. Yep.
And I have it right beside my television. And I watch the television, and I look at the I look at that, saying, "We are the best."
That's right.
How many?
We're closing in on 2.8 million downloads.
All right. So if you're listening,
and they're all over the place, and I just want to say a special hello to Craig Crawford, who listens to us in Taiwan.
Taiwan.
Yes, he's a faithful listener, and he listens to us in Taiwan all the time.
Don't you, when you hear stuff like that, you go, "Now, what is he doing in Taiwan?" When I hear stuff like that, I wonder what he is doing.
I don't know. Maybe he'll send us an email and tell us what he's doing. Hopefully he's
Taiwan.
He's not on the run.
Yeah, that's right. I have a restaurant.
Well, yeah.
So, and we also want to thank our sponsors, Spreads.ca, First Nations Online.
Who are they now? Say that nice and clear.
Spreads.ca. That's Spreads with an S. It's a First Nation owned online casino and sports book tailored to Canadians. Sign up now and enter the promo Grapes, and they'll match your deposit up to $500. You get 15 spins on a big wheel for some big dough, and on your first sports bet, they spot you $25.
All right.
So, Dad, Sunday morning we're doing it, and on the weekend, I shouldn't say I bet on Edmonton. I bet against Winnipeg because you always said, always bet against the team that's coming off a road trip and playing their first game back home because they're always flat. And boy, were you right, Edmonton and Winnipeg on Saturday.
Winnipeg looked.
Now, you always say that, Dad.
I know. And Mike Milbury cost him his job. You know that?
What cost him his job?
He said on television, he said something to the effect.
Well, he was saying about the bubble. He says it's like being on the road. And when you're on the road, you have less distractions.
And he's right. Mike was telling the truth. He's absolutely right.
Well, we all know what happens when you tell the truth on TV.
No, don't tell the truth. No, but Mike is not on, and I used to look forward to Mike being on. He was
so
good.
What was your what's your theory that they get home?
And I remember Rose saying, you make me look bad, and I didn't have any trouble. I shouldn't have. But what happens is the guys get thrown off. They got to go and shop. They got to put the garbage out. And when they're on the road.
Because the wife has a honey-do list to do. I've been watching the kids. I'd like to go out, the whole deal.
It was unbelievable that you're right, Tim. And if you're betting, and I guess the big deal is betting now.
Yeah.
Always bet on a team the first road trip back. They're back,
the first
and they're
game,
home, back. The first home game back. Now,
Bet against them
because they'll be thrown up. And Winnipeg over the weekend, they played against Edmonton. And I'm saying right now, I don't care. I'll argue with anybody. I think I know hockey pretty good. McDavid's the best hockey player. It's easy to say. He's leading the league. And for him not to, the big thing that I remember last year, he never got nominated. Never mind, he never won an award. He never even got nominated. And he's the best hockey player. Yeah. He set up what's that guy's name?
Pilarmi
like something like that. He backhanded that puck. He was going behind the net, and he backhanded the puck out front. Now, how he saw the guy is beyond me. Two guys went to him in the corner. I can still see it. And he just backhanded. I think he was surprised. He looked at the goal. He's got it. And it was right on the tape. Right, zinc, right there.
Yeah, I think the one thing, I've been watching a lot of kids and watched McDavid growing up and stuff. But he takes two steps.
Boom, boom.
He's in full flight. And, as a scout, when we're watching kids, that's one thing that we do.
Yeah.
We do right. Say, how long does it take him to go full speed? And, most kids, it's like three or four strides. You got one, two, three.
Bing, bing, he's gone.
He's two, and he's gone.
I guys that used to watch Frank Mahovich, when he'd get going, he'd take a stride. It was 20 feet long, but it took him a little while to get going. But when he get going, you couldn't catch. Yeah. Well, he tried to catch Orr one time. Remember that tape you had, Tim, that he was trying to catch Orr?
Yeah, he took off after him. I would say, though, like when if you look at Bobby Orr's skate, and he was kind of skated like,
yeah,
I would, like a little bit like Paul Coffey's. They would go fast, faster, and faster, and then faster. But they never seemed to skate hard.
No.
They always just
He used to sweat more in between periods. Fixing a stick, he cut off about a quarter inch. I know I told that story about Frosty, but he cut, and he never sat down.
What do you mean he cut off part of his stick?
Did I tell that story?
I don't think so.
I know you told a story about why he had one little strip of tape, but what do you mean
he he had the one little strip of tape because he thought in junior you had to have a piece of tape on.
It was a rule.
Yeah, it was a rule.
But what about cutting? What did he cut?
He in between periods, he'd disappear, and he'd take the saw, and he cut off his sticks. He cut off.
Blade or at the top?
No, at the very top. He cut off about I would say a quarter inch. And I remember, if I didn't tell a story, I think it's a great story. My first year, do you mind me saying he got 46 goals, 89 assists, and 100 minutes in penalties, and plus 123, no, top dot. So anyhow, I said to Frosty, who's a jerk, I said, that's cutting off a quarter of an inch of his stick all the time? He says, well, Bobby does that in between periods. Oh, isn't that interesting?
But like we're saying, when he skated, and I think Paul Coffey was like that, they would just go fast, faster, and faster, but they never looked like they
Coffey was the closest.
But they never looked like they were, their strides weren't hard.
No.
Like McDavid almost runs a little bit.
I hate to say this, but he seemed to float on the ice.
Right, yeah.
The big difference between Coffey was great. He's the close. Him and Pavel Bure were the closest I saw, but Coffey was the closest I ever. Paul Coffey, closest I ever saw a skate like Orr, is that he used to go to the outside. Bobby, unfortunately for him, used to go on the inside, and when he cut to the inside or he cut around a guy, he used to leave his leg. And I remember Richard, my brother, was at a rookie camp with him, and he said, I remember we were talking on the phone. He said, there's a rookie here you won't believe. He says, he is unbelievable. But he says, he's going to get it. And he did get it. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that Bobby Orr retired at 28 years old. 28 years old. And defensemen were just coming into his prime. And when I remember when I first went there, Cash come to me. And he says, could you do something about the stone? Now, the stone, for you people that don't know, is the guys, they call it the stone, is sharp in the skates. And Bobby used to have it, I swear to you, the deepest hollow I've ever seen in a skate in my life. And that's how he could stop on a dime and turn and the whole deal.
Yeah, you know, the one thing, too, that for people that don't know what a hollow is, that's the indentation of on the blade, like how deep the groove is in the blade.
No, Eddie Shore, one of the greatest hockey players, he used to like to try to slide a little bit. He never had a skate sharp, but he never had a deep hollow.
There was a bit of a give to
there was
the
a
glide.
Give. You slide, yeah. slide, slide,
like
slide.
Like goalies mustn't have a deep hollow because they like to slide. They like to go side.
Don't
to
ask
side.
Me how he did it. Sure, sometime we must talk about Shore, but Bobby's was so deep that and they had one stone and the guys hated this. And a lot of guys were like Shore, they didn't like a deep hollow in their skate on the blade. So I said, I went to the trainer, Danny. I said, Danny, how many stones you got? Like in Rochester, where I come from, we had three, deep hollow, deep, you know. And he says, I got one. The Boston
big
Bruins.
Time, big
the
time
Boston
NHL.
Bruins had one stone.
Well, I remember one time Cashman said in front of Frosty, because Frosty used to do him, right? Was it Frosty that
Yeah, Frosty did him.
And I remember Frosty really got mad because Cashman was there, and Cashman wasn't in a good mood, and I was there with Scott Cashman, and he walked over and he put the skates down. He says, Frosty, I need my skates sharpened. He goes, tie them to the back of your car and drag them around a couple of blocks.
Cash was really like and, Cash, like you know, you mean front
and
of the net.
Frosty, what's that supposed to mean? What's that supposed to mean?
Anyhow, I used to check the skates after that, yeah.
But
did they get another stone?
Well,
that maybe they splurged.
It wasn't that the Bruins didn't want to spend. It was that, you know, you have to take the stone. It was a lot of work.
You know?
There was a lot of work changing the stones. So we got them all changed. How did we get in on that?
We're just talking about how, like, Connor McDavid's maybe the best skater. Well, I would say him and McDavid are the best skaters. What's his name? The guy from Colorado. My mind's going.
McKinnon
are probably the two best skaters in the league. They both skate the same way. They had those two.
Hard. McKinnon's not as good skater as yeah, he's but good.
They both have those two choppy strides.
Yeah. And then we had McKinnon at the prospect game. And it was Halifax Moosehead, and he played for the Hellas, and he was nervous, eh?
Oh, because he's in his hometown.
Well, his hometown and the whole deal. But he grabbed the puck one time. Remember that, Tim? He grabbed the puck and went through the whole team, and this guy is going to be something, and he is something. He's a horse out there.
Well, they're favored to win the cup.
No, I think Tampa. I think.
Well, poor Stamkos.
He's hurt again.
You know, that he's got to be the most unluckiest guy.
Yeah.
Like, he got hurt before the Olympics. He gets hurt almost every playoff.
Last year, he had one shift. He wanted to get in. He said to the coach, get me into one shift. The one shift, he gave him the puck, bing, top corner. That was it. He had remember that goal? The guys went crazy.
Yeah, it was in the finals. Yeah.
He had one shift.
He had one shift, and he's one goal.
One goal, bing, top corner. I can still see it. But he is unlucky. I mean, he's going into the playoffs now, and
they said, "Well, he'll be out at least till mid-May."
You know, he gets hurt all the time. Remember, he fell in the goalpost.
Let me ask: do some players get a reputation as always getting hurt?
Yeah,
that goes around to the league.
I don't think they play with the injuries they had. I used to see guys play with injuries. Talk about injuries. How about Subban?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. You see the cut in his leg.
Yeah, we put it up on the Rock'em Sock'em Facebook page if you haven't seen it. It looks like something out of a monster movie.
Oh, and it caught him just between the pants, must have come up a little, and the shin pads. And did he ever?
Those were staples, weren't they?
Yeah, they were staples.
I think staples makes the cut look even worse.
Well, it was pretty long.
Oh, it was a long one. It was the skate that did it.
I thought their socks were like Kevlar or whatever.
You think they would be.
Something like that, but that one wasn't. No, I bet you that's about 6 inches?
Oh, it's 10 inches
we're
long.
We're in Canada now. You're supposed to know metric.
Well, anyway.
No, isn't it funny? I remember Ma, I was living in the States. I was in Boston, and I forget when the metric came out. I think 85% of the people did not want metric. And Al Strachan told me how it got through. What happened was that the prime minister at the time, Trudeau, prime minister, Pierre, he waited till 12 o'clock, till everybody had left, and he put it through, because Ma didn't, confused. The person who just come from a foreign landed, knew exactly if you want some meat.
Yeah, metric was in Europe.
Yeah, and I think it's in. So one time I'm at Air Canada, and they had on the board what time it leaves, 0490 or something like
that. Yeah, that's military time.
And so I went to the girl. I had nothing to do. Ron and I were just sitting around. I said, "What time is it?" She said, she looked at her watch, 5:30. She says, "Well, why you got on the boards? It leaves at 14. She says, "We're told to."
So you're equating military time with metric. It's just all the same, eh?
You know, like I went to, you know, getting off the top of metric, I went to school in the States so it would have probably been mid-70s when they were trying to teach us metric.
In the States.
In the States. Oh. And there was a push at the time, because we were in Massachusetts, Boston, which is a liberal state with the Kennedys, and they were trying to spearhead changing to metric. So one year, I mean, that's everything. We had basically a class every hour or 1 hour every day learning about metric. And then the parents
still
got
don't know.
And yeah, so the parents just said no, and it didn't fly.
But, well, they tried to, I hate to interrupt, Cindy, but they tried that in New York. and they had metric on the highways. They cut them down. Americans wouldn't do. They had Susan B. Anthony's.
The silver dollars.
They're the silver dollars.
Oh, I remember them. They were pretty cool when they came out, but nobody liked them.
Well, what happened was Americans like the dollar. They like the dollar. They don't want
it. They like paper money.
Well, Ron and I used to go on the road, and I'd end up with my pockets. I'd be pulled. I'd say the bill comes to $5.50 or something like that. You'd get all change, so you'd shove them in your pocket. It was awful. Anyhow.
Yeah, the problem with the Susan B. Anthony coin was it looked like a quarter, but it was like an octagon, right? So it was the size of a quarter. And so people were just used changing, you know, if you wanted a buck, they'd give you four of these dollar bills. So that
anyhow, Susan, there's about
seven. Well, I can tell you, I mean, we own the restaurants and I bartended at the time up in Hamilton. And I'll tell you, bartenders made a ton of money in tips because when Canadians first started the loonie and all, they would be treating it like quarters and for tipping, right? Because they'd get confused between the quarter and the loonie and the way you gave change to it. So anyone that knows restaurants would know what I'm talking about.
But getting back to Subban's cut, that's
and he never missed a shift.
Never missed a shift. Yeah,
I remember one time. Can I tell a story? This is a great story. I think it's a pretty good story. We were playing somewhere an exhibition game, I got into a fight and I got cut pretty good in the fight. Geez, I get cut a lot. So I was, and the guy had to take it, get me stitched. Now it was an exhibition game. It was nobody. At the rink, there was no place at the rink to sew me up. That's how small it was. And I remember I had to get in my equipment in a Volkswagen. Now I tried to get in Volkswagen a little, and I get driven to this house. It looked like something out of you know what it looked like. It looked like that house in Psycho. Like I said, what am I getting into here? This guy's going to kill me. So, and I was bleeding pretty good. And I remember laying down and the lady asked me, my mother's maiden name, which was long, was Powell Mountain, which was long. She's, could you spell that for me? But little did I know I was being stitched up with no freezing. So I'm concentrating on trying to spell this name. So I think, well, one good thing, I'm getting stitched up and everything in the fight and everything like that, like a fool fighting in an exhibition game. And I thought, well, I'll miss the period anyhow. I got back, I never missed a shift. There was a big riot. A couple of players got in. By the time I got back, I never missed a shift. How did I get into that?
Well, oh, I thought you were going to say they drove you to a vet clinic.
No, I would have done it. This house, I'll never forget it, and I can still see it now. Holy smoke, this guy's going to kill me. I'm in a small Volkswagen in my equipment, and that's how antique it was. Anyhow, it was a good cut, and not like Subban's.
Well, Dad, you talk about getting cut a lot and everything. What was your most memorable cut?
I remember your mother, Rose, and I remember her saying, I remember when we first got married, I said to her, can you take stitches out?
Oh, I remember.
And she said, oh, no, I can't do it. You know, I don't want it. I said, just get a cuticle scissors and cut it. And oh, I'm not going. So, you know, and I remember the first one. She says, this is terrible. I just cut it where it's there and take a tweezers and pull it out. It saved me going to the hospital
the doctor.
Doctors and that. So, and near the end, I remember she used to make me switch these sets, you big, tough hockey player.
I can remember watching Mom. I always, as a little girl, I just thought it was fascinating watching Mom snip. She'd cut the stitch.
Yeah, with a little cuticle.
With the little cuticle scissors and then have her eyebrow tweezers and then pull it out. And sometimes if you let the stitches in too long, they would heal. Yeah. And then you'd have to really yank the thing out. So she'd yank it out and you'd flinch. Oh, look at Cindy. Look at Cindy. Your daddy, big tough hockey player flinching. Big tough hockey player. And boom, boom, boom. Yeah, anyway, it really
she laughed. So, oh, the worst cut I ever had. I'll tell you the whole story. everybody thinks you have it easy and everything. I did not have it easy. I remember, first of all, I had a bad shoulder. Like a fool. I say fool. I was a fool. I played baseball because I loved baseball so much. And the Reds,
In the summer.
And they told me not to.
The Bruins told you not to play.
They told me not to play, and I played like a fool. And I separated my shoulder. Now, in those days, they'd really cut you. Really. But I wanted to make the Bruins. I was so happy. I wanted to make the Bruins. And I went anyway. I shouldn't have. Now, they wouldn't have played for 2 months. Anyhow, I wake up in the morning, there'd be blood all over the
pillow. So they operated on you.
Oh, yeah, they operated. They put a wire in, the whole deal. And so I might as well tell the whole story. So the wire was like a pigtail. You put the wire in, and then you put a pigtail on. Now, when I'd hit a guy real hard, I wouldn't feel it. But if a guy just patted me on the shoulder, the pigtail would come up through the skin. I know this is not a very good story. So anyhow, I never forgot. I couldn't shoot a puck because my shoulder hurt so bad. And I never forgot a guy. They had an older player there called Bill Quackenbush. You can be cruel saying things. And I remember him saying to the coach, and I couldn't shoot a puck because of my shoulder. And he says, "This guy's got a worse shot than me." I never forgot that, how cruel. It was a lesson to me as I got older. So anyhow, I had the short shoulder, and I remember the Bruins leaving. They were going to leave about 10 o'clock. But before that, I was really wanting to hit guys and trying to hit guys and everything. And I hit a guy named Eddie Panagapko. I never forgot it. And he had Pete Panagapko played for Kingston. Anyhow, Eddie Panagapko. And his skate. Now, let me tell you about the skates. When you had older skates, you sharpen the blade, and the end of the blade would be like a sword almost, believe it or not. I mean, it was...
Yeah, because they were tube skates, right?
Tube skates.
And then you were... And people who are old enough, like my age, we always had a white cap.
Exactly.
At the back of the tube skate. But when you played, you didn't.
They didn't. And a guy and a trainer for Toronto Maple Leafs, I think his name was Trainer Taylor. Naylor or Taylor. I hit a guy one time called Lulu Denise, and my skate was like pointed and went into his foot. So anyhow, to make a long story short, I hit Eddie Panagapko, I never forget it, and a cut and went right up underneath, right through the skate, the bottom of my foot. Now, tickle your foot. You know how sensitive it is.
So, like, just the thing. So, the back of his skate went right through the leather of your boot of your skate and cut the bottom of your foot.
And I'm on crutches. But I tell you about the story. Dr. Hofstetter, I never forgot his name. He had two nurses. And he sewed the bottom of my foot with no freezing. Now, you can do it around your eyes and... any other place, but at bottom of your foot.
Did they not have Novocaine in those days? Or he was going to see how much pain you could take? Or what was the theory?
I remember I didn't cry, but there was tears rolling down my eyes, from the pain. And I remember looking at one nurse, she had tears in her eyes. I mean, I was in such pain. Anyhow, I'm on crutches. Now, the Boston didn't want me, and neither did Hershey, because now they have to pay me, and I'm hurt.
So you got a bad shoulder and a bad foot.
I got a bad shoulder. I got a bad foot. So I get up and I'm on crutches. How the Lord was mysterious ways, his wonders to behold. I didn't get infection. I should have got infection. Skate kind of. Never got a shot. Never got anything. And I remember getting up and the crutches, looking out the window of the Coco Inn, and there was the Bruins driving away. Now I knew. I knew Hershey didn't want me, and I knew Boston didn't want me, and I'm on crutches with a bad shoulder and foot swollen.
And the bus left without you, without saying that's it for you.
Nobody wanted me.
Didn't you say, though, like you're not only that, but your foot, that your cut on your shoulder opened up and you started to bleed?
Blood all over the place, and my shoulder was bad.
So what did the trainer give you for that?
Oh, I went to the Boston trainer. I thought, show him the trainer. He gave me some Band-Aids. It's funny now, but it wasn't then. I remember I was rooming with Fernie Flamin. You know, he was a great defenseman, and he didn't. You know, nobody cared. Nobody gave. You know, I shouldn't have played baseball. Anyhow, I'm bleeding all over the place, and my foot's bleeding. It's still. And Ralph Willis, he's living in St. Catharines now. They used to bring me. I couldn't go out. I mean, I could not move, and they bring me tea and muffins and something.
Wasn't he the best man at your wedding?
He was the best man at my wedding. He drove all the way down, him and his wife.
Yeah, because you got married in Hershey, and he drove down from Canada to be at your wedding.
It was really something. And, boy, that was an awful cut, and it was the worst cut I ever had, and I had a lot of cuts.
I know you had a lot of cuts. Can I tell the story in Rochester about you?
And your
spraying?
Mother?
No, you were spraying, you building a rink in the backyard, and you were putting water, you were putting water on it. It was really, really, Rochester in the 70s, look out and all this. And it was late at night, and your face, I remember you came in and your face was red, but all the scars in your face were white. Because, of course, the blood doesn't get to your scars. Scars is, have blood. And you looked, the best thing I can describe it as is you look like Jerry Cheever's goalie mask. All the cuts you could see were white. And it was, I'll tell you, it was scary.
Well, how many stitches you had in your face?
Oh, I had about 300 to 400. I don't know.
See them now. What did you do? Like
cocoa butter. Listen, if your kid ever gets cut, I don't know how they get cut now, but if they ever get cut, take cocoa butter, and I remember Andy Brannigan from Winnipeg. He was an old, he says, the way you play, he was sitting beside me, he was a great guy, and he says, get the little stick of cocoa butter, and you're on the bus, just keep rubbing cocoa butter on it, and by God, and he says, and get your stitches out early, don't let them sit a long time, because if you do, it'll be a bad scar. Richard, my brother's got a bad scar on his cheek. I did a bad job. I must tell about all the stitches. And I did, and Andy was right. And all the stitches. But as I get older, I see the stars coming out.
I'll tell you one story about cuts that's really funny that Mom didn't think was too funny. So I was playing, and that was probably about 7 or 8. It was my first time like scrimmaging hockey.
Yeah,
back then he didn't have masks back then, right? He just had a mouth guard and a plastic bucket on your head. And I remember some big kid tripped and fell on me and cut me. And I hit my head in the ice and I got a cut over the eye.
No, it wasn't
big. It was maybe, I don't know,
maybe
an inch and a half. Like maybe
wasn't that.
It was an inch anyway. So I was bleeding. So I'm bleeding. So Dad takes me off and we didn't go to the doctor. I remember you got some tape and you knew how to cut butterflies. So you cut like a butterfly to put over the thing. You put like 2 or 3 butterflies. So it stopped bleeding, and it just happened in the morning. So I play things. So we're coming home from the hockey. We're coming home from the hockey school, and I'm still in my equipment and everything because back then in the hockey school you just went thing. So you stopped. You said, "Okay, before you go in, you go just a minute." So you took the butterflies off, and you squeezed the cut as hard as you could, and started it bleeding again. And you know how you bleed around your eye?
You can
really bleed. So then you got your hand, and then you smeared it all over my face.
Jerk I was.
So, can you imagine?
So you smeared it all over my face, the blood's dripping down. And you say, okay, go in and show your mom. So I went, hey, Mom, look, Mom, I got... Mom,
I remember.
Went bananas.
That's all right for you.
That's right.
But not for our son.
No. And so I remember you arguing. So Matt said he's never playing this game again. I started to cry because I wasn't going to be able to play hockey anymore. You're not playing hockey anymore. So then you said, wait a minute. You go, how many cuts and stitches and broken bones have you seen from me? She says, you're not my flesh and blood. I don't care about you. He's my flesh and blood. He goes, you're just a big galoot. What do I care?
She used to call me galoot all the time.
Yeah, that was a good nickname.
I must look at what a galoot means. But
I can remember that too, man. She was pretty.
It backfired on me.
Yeah, that was it. So
made Tim cry.
I was, you're not playing hockey anymore.
I, of course, was laughing.
But getting back to your foot story, there was a part two of that foot story.
So I made it back. It took me a long time. You can't put your foot in stitches and everything like that. And we're in Providence. I'll never forget it. And Scotty Alexander, our trainer.
So you're with Hershey now.
I'm with Hershey now. I'm still playing. I'm still a rookie. No, I'm playing. I think the first game I got into a fight with a guy named Jimmy Bartlett. He beat me. I wasn't in shape. So anyhow, I remember Scotty, he's mad. So it's all, my foot is bandied up. Imagine trying to play with your foot bandied. And he ripped the thing off and he ripped the callus. You know that callus is on your leg?
Yeah.
Blood flying all over the place. It was unbelievable. And I remember Frank Mathers, player coach. I remember I should talk about him. He says, if he doesn't play the next game, you're fired. I never forgot.
So now you have to play.
Blood's all over my shoulder's still bleeding. I did not have an easy time in life.
Yeah. So we'll tell one quick story about your foot again. You're playing in Springfield for Eddie Shore.
Eddie Shore. And you want to tell that story?
Yeah, I think so. So you block a shot and you break your toe.
Oh, I broke my toe. Unfortunately for me, I told the trainer, who else am I going to tell? And he tells Eddie Shore. So he tells me the next day, I want you here an hour or be something. There's a true story. This is a true story.
Well, didn't he tell you, I'm going to cure your broken toe?
I'm going to cure my broken toe. How are you going to cure a broken toe? So, honest to God, this is a true story. He had boiling hot water, and he had a bucket that you could put your foot in, and he had ice in the other one. First of all, you put your foot in the ice, and it'd freeze, and then you put it in back and forth. So, I can't believe this is happening. I'm only 22 years old. Anyhow, so I freeze, and the skin is starting to come off. You know, he's starting to. So after I put it in the hot water, he said, how's your toe now? I said, it's great, Eddie. You've cured it. I look back on those days, and I just jammed it in the skate, and I played with a broken toe. Play with a broken toe, it's all disfigured and everything. Now, I wasn't going through that again, I'll tell you that.
He was notorious for curing things.
Someday, I'll do a whole story. I'll do the whole story on Eddie Shore. Nobody would believe it the way that they're treated now.
Yeah, we'll have to tell. Maybe next week, we got to tell the story of Brian Kilroy, Barkley Plager, and Eddie Shore.
It's
a little bit one, but it's pretty funny.
I have to go on one thing because I really like Carey Price. I really do. And as we speak now, Ottawa beat him 4-0. I know this is the last story. And they were Canadians outshot them. He had 15 shots on net. Now I'm saying this. I hope he's got a rest. He's a back plane. He's making $10 million, so nobody will touch him. I hope. Because I like Montreal Canadiens, hard to beat Kirkland. I say that he's going to come back in the playoffs and play like he did 3 or 4 years ago. What do you think, Tim?
I hope so. Well, it's going to be
15 shots and they score 4 goals.
So it looks like, it looks like Toronto and Montreal are going to be first round. Because I don't think Calgary is going to catch them. And Vancouver's got to pretty much run the table. And I don't think they're going to run. So, you know, you look at that and
I'd hate to play him because he
did it to Pittsburgh, and we said it last year. I remember saying Montreal played Pittsburgh first round, and we said, you said, I don't want to play Carey Price in the first round of the playoffs, and everybody laughed, and oh, you're crazy, and then he single-handedly beat Pittsburgh.
This is his one chance. This is his one chance to win the Stanley Cup because they're not going deep in the. They're not going deep. I don't care
But how about Tyler Toffoli again? I mean, he's just...
Tyler Toffoli. He is unbelievable. Unbelievable. What has he got? 21 goals now.
I know. He just... Yeah. We always used to see his dad, out when we scout.
Yeah.
We always see his dad.
Dad when we scout. And boy, what a pickup. We must talk about Montreal Canadiens if they make the playoffs. The way they're going.
No, I bet they'll make it. Calgary and them can't catch them, I don't think.
Well, they got 3 games, three games at home.
And then one other thing, too, just want to mention your guy, Taylor Hall, 2 goals in 3 games with Boston.
Taylor Hall and Buffalo, think just shaking their head.
They had 2 goals in 26, how many games? 36 games in Buffalo. And he got 2 goals in 3 games in Buffalo.
Well, the Bruins have a culture there. You float there. Oh, boy. You don't last long. Anyhow.
But just to say that, They better be careful because the Rangers are catching up to them. They're only 4 points ahead of the Rangers as we talk
on
Sunday.
Don't say that. Boston Bruins got to make the playoffs.
Well, they better smarten up. But they got a lot of their goalies are hurt, and the one kid came from.
No, he's coming back. They'll be back. When they get their goalies back, there'll be no problem. I'm saying there's be no problem.
Okay, so next week, Dad, we'll talk about we got to talk about the Black Aces.
Oh yeah, the Black Aces. You must talk. Hey, you're not supposed to say black. What's the other thing they say, huh? You can't say master bedroom.
No, you got to say, what is it, Del? Primary bedroom.
Primary bedroom.
And you can't call them Black Aces.
You have to be very, very careful.
Taxi Squad. And we'll tell you how they got the name Taxi Squad. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's a football term. Of course, you know, it's the
American. Everything is American now.
Yeah. So
locker room.
Yeah.
Locker room, we must go to the dressing room. You ever see any locker in the rooms? Never. Anyhow, I want to say and give us that betting again, Tim. I want to tell that betting.
So it's again, our sponsors is spreads.ca, spreads.ca. It's a First Nations owned online casino and sports book tailored to Canadians and one of the few Canadian betting sites that you can do single games. Most of them you got to do like parlay games. You got to pick three. You know, you got to pick three. Who's going to win three games? Right. We're here. You can just pick an individual game. And sign up now and enter the promo Grapes, and they'll match your deposit up to $500. You get 15 spins on the big wheel for big dough, and your first bet, they'll spot you $25. And again, Dad, your advice for people betting.
When a team is on a long road trip and they do good, bet against them at home. Because Mike Milbury got fired for that, for telling the truth. And I guess you can't tell the truth now. I guess I can here. And always, because what happens is the wife has you, and I can say
a lot
it.
Of feminists would be upset with you saying
I'm
that.
Just
I mean, they're
going
to get in line, Tim, about you saying that, you know.
Give Winnipeg lost, and yeah, they look terrible.
Well, it was funny you say that because Patrick Marleau was on, and we should mention he tied Gordie Howe's record over the weekend for most games played in the NHL. And so he was talking about, he says, you know, I'm on the road a lot with my wife. And, you know, I guess he's got three or four kids. And he goes, you know, I know when I come home, I try to pick up the slack. And
there you are.
But then she looks at me as if to say, things are a little bit easier when I'm on the road. So maybe it's just best I stay out of the way sometimes.
Anyhow, glad I have a lot of fun here. And can I tell one more story about Shea Weber, okay? Yeah. Remember when they and that cut was pretty bad on Subban?
Yeah,
yeah. So remember they made the trade and everything, and you know this is getting to be long, but you know how they do the deal now? They roar up the ice, they roar up the ice, and they stop and look for the guy coming late. He's roaring up the ice.
Yeah, for the power play they do.
Yeah,
it.
Power play. I'll never forget this. Now, when I coached the Bruins, and when I played, when a big defenseman came at me, I didn't know what he was going to do. Forward, I knew what he was going to do. But a big defenseman, I was always back in, because I didn't want to stand up against him because I didn't know what they were going to do. I used to have Milbury do that. He was the big tall guy. He used to go up, Mike Milbury. And Shea Weber, I'll never forget this. Last week, he roars up the ice. And the defense backs right in. He could have kept right on going. He stops and looks back for the late guy coming. Now, am I describing this right? I don't think I'm describing it. And he gives it to the guy, and then the defense moves up and stops the guy. I thought, how stupid.
Yeah, I don't get that either. You have guys roaring up the ice, and then the defense, you know, they're kind of semi-backing in, and then they give it. But now the defense knows you're going to do that, so they stand up.
Especially if it's a big defenseman like Weber. So, and they backed right in because they don't want to stand up on him because you don't know what a big defenseman's going to do. He stops, and he looks back at the guy coming. The guy coming late, and the defense just moved up, and it was nothing. And
so believe he should take the shot? Or what?
He should keep on going.
Oh, keep on going.
And you know, the funny thing is, and I know this is getting long, this show is getting long. Tim, we always laugh at when they have the goalie out. When the goalie's out with a minute to go, they always dump the puck in.
Right.
But if it's 2 minutes to go and like that, yeah, they'll look for that silly power play of the guy coming late.
Yeah, when they got the power play, they do this thing where the guy roars up the ice, stops, and then he gives it back to the other guy, and then they try to gain the line. But when they're in a panic,
when they have to score, when they have to score,
they
get the red line, dump it
in. Watch that.
They go, you just go.
Oh, it must be important.
And the guys are going because they don't, you know.
Yeah, it's just, it's strange how what's changed.
Okay, well, thank you very much for listening, and we have a good time, and see you later. Toodaloo.